alphabet tonight because it's Pentecost. And I really felt as I was praying about tonight that we needed to talk about that. We needed to talk about the fact that today is the day of Pentecost and that that's one of the most important celebrations in the Christian calendar. You know, today is the day when we remember the Holy Spirit coming upon a group of 120 believers in an upstairs room as they gathered together to pray and to wait as their risen Saviour had told them to. Today is often being called the birthday of the church. It's the day when Christianity moved from being just a localised movement, a group of, you know, just those 120 people, to being a powerful witness, which literally turned the world upside down through that power, through the power of the Holy Spirit. Up until that day, the believers, even though they'd witnessed firsthand the miracle of Jesus' resurrection, they weren't really doing anything very much. But after the Holy Spirit came on them, they were changed. They were empowered. Peter stood up to give that sermon to the crowds, which saw 3,000 people come to faith. Healings, miracles, many more powerful sermons like that followed. This was the day when transformation came. And more than ever, we too need the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. If we're going to impact our communities and see people saved and healed and transformed, we can't fulfill the Great Commission that Jesus gave us in our own strength. And we were never meant to. We can't even live the Christian life in our own strength. And nor were we ever meant to. We were never intended to be people for whom God is an optional add-on extra. God's plan and God's purpose is for each one of us to be filled with the Holy Spirit and to allow the fruit of the Spirit to grow within us and to be seen in our lives. God's plan and purpose has always been for Him to dwell in us, with us, you know, God living inside us by His Spirit and transforming us from the inside out. The challenge for us all and for us as a Pentecostal church is to live according to the leading of the Holy Spirit and not to think even for one moment that we can live as God intends in our own strength. We didn't start this journey by the Spirit to carry on in our own strength. But so often, like the Galatian church, that's what we do. That's what happens. We start by faith and then we live in our own strength, thinking that we can do it ourselves. And we don't really find it easy to live by the Spirit, in my experience. It's much easier to live life with ourselves in charge. Being led by the Holy Spirit is often scary. It's risky. It's dangerous because when we're led by the Spirit of God, we don't always know where we're going. We don't necessarily know where He will lead us or what life will look like. But being led by the Spirit is also exciting, it's fulfilling, it's powerful, because it's the way that God meant life to be lived. And anything less than that ultimately leaves us frustrated and dissatisfied and yearning for more. We need the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit every single day of our lives. We need God to be leading us, to be directing us, shaping us, transforming us, moulding us, if we're going to see our communities and our world transformed by God. Nothing else will work. Politics, social action, military action, revolution, they've all been tried, and they can all do certain things, definitely. But only God can truly transform our world. Only God can satisfy the deepest needs of our hearts. Only God has got the answers. Before His death, Jesus went to the Feast of Tabernacles and He taught there in John chapter 7. If you'd like to turn to that chapter, John 7, I'm going to read just a few verses, verses 37 to 39. This is part of what He taught there. On the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood up and said in a loud voice, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him. By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. Jesus talked about streams of living water flowing from within people. That was fulfilled on the day of Pentecost, when those who believed were baptized in the Holy Spirit. We read about that in Acts chapter 2. Verses 2 to 4 in Acts 2 say, "Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them." The Holy Spirit is God's gift to us as believers to give us the power to live life by means of the Spirit, so that we can indeed be children of God, led by the Spirit. We don't have to serve God in our own strength. We don't have to live life from our own meagre resources, which aren't enough to sustain us, let alone to transform anyone else. Instead, we're meant to be tapping into God's endless resources and experience his never-ending flow of living water. Psalm 36, verses 8 to 9 say, "They feast on the abundance of your house. You give them drink from your river of delights. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light, we see light." We're not meant to be living on scraps like Mephibosheth was until David rescued him and brought him to eat at the king's table. We're not meant to be dying of thirst when there's a river of delights that we can drink from. God's fountain of life is available to us. And I've called this sermon Out of the Overflow because I believe that God wants us to live out of the overflow of his life and his love. I don't believe he wants us to be people who are just getting by, who are just surviving. He wants us to thrive. You know, in England, there's no shortage of rainfall, is there? We get plenty of rain, usually. That's why they call it a green and pleasant land. But other countries are not so fortunate, and drought, you know, occurs frequently in those countries. Drought caused by lack of rainfall. Spiritually, many of us perhaps feel, though, that we're living in a dry and barren land. The streams of living water of the Holy Spirit aren't flowing within us. We may feel there's barely a trickle, let alone a stream. We may well feel thirsty and dry and barren and brown. We need the water of God's Spirit to well up within us, to enable us to live out of the overflow. We need God's good measure to be pressed down, shaken together, and running over. We need that pouring into our laps so that we're living out of the overflow. You know, these days there's a lot of talk about hydration, isn't there? You know, that we've got to be drinking plenty of water, enough water to keep ourselves on top form. And if we're dehydrated, then we do find that there are symptoms. You know, we become tired. We've got headaches. We feel dizzy. It's not good for us. You know, if you leave that untreated, then dehydration can be very serious. People who are ill because they're dehydrated, you know, will end up, you know, needing to go into hospital and being put on a drip so that they can be hydrated again. You know, and spiritual dehydration is very serious. We need to acknowledge our thirst and to come to Jesus so that we can be filled again with his Spirit and can receive that living water. You know, it's not wrong for us to be thirsty. Spiritual thirst is actually the first step in receiving the Holy Spirit. If we don't feel that we've got any need for God, if we think that we can manage quite well on our own, then we've got no incentive to reach out to God. And then we'll continue just to live life in our own strength. But in the Bible, we read in many places of people's thirst for God. Psalm 63, verse 1 says, "Oh God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water." In another psalm, we read, "As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God?" Jesus himself said in those verses in John 7, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink." He said that we're blessed if we hunger and thirst for righteousness. We need to be a people who are thirsty for God if we're to have that thirst quenched. If we aren't thirsty, we're in a far more dangerous place than if we are. You know, we have to be reminded sometimes to drink water to keep our fluid intake up, especially in warmer weather. We were out at Phoenix Park this afternoon and it was hot and we needed to keep drinking, especially me, because I was in this thick dinosaur onesie, you know, and I felt like I was about to explode. So, yeah, you know, we need to drink. And spiritually, perhaps we need to be reminded that we need to keep drinking from God's river of delights, from that fountain of life. We need to keep coming to God and to keep asking him to fill us afresh, because we're leaky vessels, yeah? Being filled with the Spirit isn't just a one-off event. Paul says that we need to keep on being filled with the Spirit. You know, the day of Pentecost was important and significant, but throughout the rest of the New Testament, we see that being filled with the Spirit wasn't just something that happened once. You know, I can't say, well, I had a drink this morning, and so I don't need to drink anything else today. I need to continue to drink throughout the day. I need to drink every day. I can't say tomorrow, oh, well, I had a drink yesterday, so that's okay. Are we thirsty for God? I am, certainly. I don't want that just trickle of water in my life, just that occasional glimpse of God. I want to stand under that raging torrent of God's love and power and be drenched like when you're standing under a really fast-flowing waterfall. I want to be soaked. We went on holiday to Austria once, and there's a waterfall called Krimmel. And when you stood there, you got wet. The spray from the waterfall soaked you. Even if it was a lovely hot day, you know, you'd come away from that waterfall soaked. You couldn't get close to look at it without it drenching you. And that's just a small glimpse of what God wants to do for us. I don't want us to be people who just go through the motions, who we've got a form of godliness but no power. I don't want us to be people that just come to church week in, week out and never really change. I want us to come as a people together and meet with God, to encounter Jesus in everything that we do and say, to be filled with his Spirit, to be led by the Spirit, to live life with him in control, with him in charge. Only as we thirst for God and come to him can we be filled by his Spirit and live out of the overflow. Because God's got this river of delights to drink from. He's the fountain of life. It's not, you know, some pathetic little stream that, you know, you can't really notice. It's a raging river. And while ever we're content as we are, you know, content to dig our own cisterns, which can't hold water, we won't experience the Spirit-filled life, which is available, I believe, to everyone who believes. If we forsake the springs of living water, Jeremiah said, then we won't have life. We won't have that life-quenching water to sustain us and to give to others. You know, so often we can be so easily satisfied with things that don't last, with material possessions, with earthly relationships, with doing what we want, when we want. And if we're satisfied with those things, we will miss out on God's living water. Isaiah says, with joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. There are deep wells in God, a never-ending supply of water. There are no water shortages in God, yeah, no rationing. I can actually remember the summer of 1976 when we had standpipes because we had a drought in this country, which is very, very rare. But there's no water shortage in God. There's no shortage of power. Gary preached recently on John 14:12. Anyone whose faith in me will do what I have been doing, he will do even greater things than these because I'm going to the Father. Jesus has gone to the Father. He sent the Holy Spirit as our counsellor, our comforter, our advocate, our guide. We've got all that we need readily available to us. All that we need to do is acknowledge that we're thirsty and then we need to come and drink. You know, the proverb says you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. And that's true. But Jesus says, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. It's as simple as that. And as we come to God to drink, we have to exercise faith. Jesus said, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. In John 7, he says, whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him. Faith is that key ingredient to receiving from God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God, Hebrews says, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. We've got to let go of faith in ourselves and our reliance on ourselves, and we've got to trust in God. Proverbs says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. And trusting in God, you know, it's simple, but we often make it so complicated. We feel that we're not worthy to receive the Holy Spirit. Well, we're not. He's given as a gift, not as a wage for what we've done. We're unsure, perhaps, if God really wants to bless us. We think it can't be this simple. But Jesus reminds us constantly of God's good intentions to us. In Luke chapter 11, he says, I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? The Holy Spirit comes when we ask him to. Not because of our goodness and righteousness, but because God is a good, good Father. He wants to give us his Spirit. He knows what we need. He knows our spiritual dryness. He knows our helplessness and our powerlessness. He knows that we need help, and he doesn't turn us away like other people might. You know, we might have been turned down when we've applied for jobs. We might have been made redundant or sacked. We might have been rejected by people. And all those experiences make it hard for us to believe that God will give us what we ask for. But we need to take God at his word, as the scripture has said. If we're thirsty, we can come and drink. First we have to come, then we have to drink. Then we have to believe that from our drinking, streams of living water will flow from within us. All we have to do ultimately is believe God's promise to us. When we come together as believers, Jesus says, he's here with us. Where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in your midst. Jesus told his disciples that if he went away, he would send the Holy Spirit to them. He said he wouldn't leave them as orphans. And he fulfilled that promise on the day of Pentecost. And he's been fulfilling it ever since, when people have come in faith to receive the Holy Spirit. We mustn't ever think that these things apply to everyone else and not to us. God doesn't show favoritism. If his children are thirsty and come, he will give us the Holy Spirit, the living water that sustains us and overflows to others. Ultimately, we know that Jesus is faithful to his word. God has said, you know, every promise that he's made is yes in Christ Jesus. But we have to speak the amen of faith. We have to say, you know, let it be so, God. Fill us with your spirit as you've promised. It's a very simple word that I brought tonight, but I feel it's really important. All I'm really saying is that we need to be thirsty for God, and that he is the source of living water. And if we're thirsty, we need to come and drink. We need to ask God to fill us with his spirit, and we need to believe that he will do that. The first disciples had to wait for the Holy Spirit to come, because they had to wait for Jesus to die on the cross to deal with their sins. They had to wait for him to rise again from the dead as proof that that sacrifice for sin was acceptable. They had to wait for his ascension, as we heard last week. They had to wait for Jesus to be glorified so that the Spirit could be poured out. But these things have happened now. Yes. And so today we celebrate the day when Joel's prophecy was fulfilled, when the Holy Spirit came on those first believers. Because of that, we too can receive the Holy Spirit. We need to be thirsty. In that sense, we need to be dissatisfied with where we're at. We need to be yearning for more of God. And if we're not, then we need to ask God to revive us, to help us to thirst for him. Because if we don't have spiritual thirst, we'll just settle for water that doesn't last. And we'll continue to live life in our own strength. And life then will always be that uphill struggle. Life's hard enough as it is without trying to do it on your own. If we're thirsty, we need to come and drink. We need to exercise faith to trust that God is a good God who wants to give us his Holy Spirit, who wants to satisfy us. God's got a river of delights for us to drink from. Psalm 87 verse 7 says, all our fountains are in him. So I want us just to spend a little bit of time praying, asking God. I want us to come, to believe, to drink. I certainly know that I'm thirsty for God and I need God's Spirit to fill me. We need as a church to be reliant, dependent, holy on the Holy Spirit, because only he can satisfy us and only he can empower us to live life the way that God wants us to live life, to be that witness that can transform our world. There were only 120 disciples in that upper room, but we're here tonight as a result of their witness and their testimony and what God did through them. God can do so much through so little. We just need to come and drink.